And again, I'm so thankful that we're here together. And as tonight comes upon, I won't be here, but we have Gage Gilbert, our good missionary to Greenland. He'll be presenting or updating us in the first part of the service. And then Anna Snyder, our student pastor's wife, her dad, who pastors over North Carolina, he'll be over here tonight as well and have a good time together in the Lord. And so I wanted you to know what will be happening. We've got great folks that are filling in our absence. And so we're very thankful for what God's doing. Well, we had a great couples retreat. If you weren't able to go, I challenge you to think about next year to be about this time of year, and so we'll, Lord willing, we'll head back over to Pigeon Forge somewhere. And it's a highlight of my year. I'm so thankful to get a chance to go away and just spend some time with Amy, but then also spend time with other couples from the church. And so if you're able to, think about that for next year. We'll look forward to being together. It was a delightful time, a lot of good instruction. You say, well, Pastor, my marriage is great. Well, good. I want you to keep it that way. So come, and it could help you. You never take your car and say, oh, my car is running great. I'm not going to service it. I'm not going to do the maintenance on it. We always do that. And so we'll have a good time next year as well. I challenge you to be a part of that. Well, I'd like for you to turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy. I want to preach about fighting. So, are we for it or against it? Well, usually we're against it, but today we're for it. So I wanted to teach you about fighting and look at the scriptures. So if you find your place in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 11, as you find your place there in 1 Timothy, I did hear the story about this old doctor, family physician, had been in that town for a long time. And so he had some kids, but one of them went through medical school and was coming back to help his dad in the practice, the family practice. And so he felt like, okay, his son's back. He's able to go on vacation now, which he usually didn't do. And so his son, who he left in charge, said, okay, everything you got till I get back. Okay, good. The doctor got back and asked his son, well, how'd everything go? Went great. All the appointments, yeah, everything was good. All patients, well, everybody's fine. And said, as a matter of fact, it went really, really good. Said, you know, Miss Ferguson, that rich, really well-off widow in town. Oh, yeah, I know her very well. And said, well, you're going to be so proud of me. Said, I cured her of that chronic indigestion. She's had those issues for years and years. I cured her, got it taken care of while you were gone. And he said, well, that's fine, son. I appreciate that. But just remember that chronic indigestion is what put you through medical school. So Dr. Dad had a little something going on there. But none of the people in healthcare would do that here. That was some other doctor somewhere else. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible says, verse 11, well, we're going to look at the things here. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We're supposed to flee the love of money. We're supposed to leave that, as listed back in verse number 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of times that verse is misquoted. Money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. You can see it there, the love of money. Money is the thing that God puts in your life to get your family supported, to keep the ministries going, to do all of that. So it's not the money itself. It can be used for good, but the love of that. But the scripture says, verse 11, leaving these things, flee these things, and follow after that righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness. But then we get down to verse number 12, and it says that we're supposed to fight. So not only do we flee in verse 11, we also follow in verse 11, follow after those things. And I could ask you if you're following after those today. But then verse number 12, to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop right there, and I talk about fighting, and we ought to see that we're supposed to flee certain things, as I mentioned, and follow after righteousness, and then fight. I want to give you a few things about this fight as we get into it today. I want you to think about the fight that all of us are supposed to be in. You say, Pastor, I thought we were always not supposed to fight. I thought we were supposed to be people that aren't fighters. Well, we are commanded in Scripture to fight for some things because there's some elements of your life that are worth fighting for: your family, your marriage, this church, your relationships, the positions that God has put you in. There's things that are worth fighting for. If God has given you a family, then you ought to stand up and fight for it. If you have love that God has put in your heart for somebody, then you fight for that. When the devil comes to try to attack that love that you have, and if you have that love and you don't stand up and say, I want to fight for this, then it indicates that that love is not very strong that you say that you have for that person or that entity or that relationship. But I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 11, as we look there, verse number 12 rather, fight the good fight. So I say, first of all, you do need to fight. You say, good, Pastor, I'm glad to hear it, because I've been wanting to fight this spouse of mine for a long time. Not that fight. Fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that you're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A soldier doesn't always like his orders. He doesn't always like what the superior told him or her to do. A soldier doesn't always enjoy the things that they're commanded to do. But they understand that the part of the life of a soldier is that you just do what you've got to do. Sometimes we're looking for the Christian life to be this wonderfully soft and easy life that never gets challenged, but instead the Bible gives the picture of it, of a person in warfare, that we are supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy, as Paul is talking about his departure that was soon at hand, he says, I fought a good fight. Sometimes people think about preacher, oh, they should never fight. And if you're talking about you and me going outside and duking it out, I don't want to show up. I don't want to fight like that. But if we're talking about the preacher supposed to fight for the things that are right, and supposed to fight and pray and seek and search for the Lord and fight for the things that are righteous and godly, then like the Apostle Paul says, I hope I can say at the end of my life, I have fought a good fight. And so we see that that's what the scripture says. I was talking with somebody who's a great horticulturist, loves flowers and grows things great. It's amazing how some people can just do that so well. And the rest of us kill things for a living. You know, you give it to them, it's flourishing, it's nice. Oh, just give us time. We'll do our work on it. My father-in-law one time had babied this. He got a cheap Japanese maple. And the reason it was cheap is because it was about half dead at Lowe's. And he babied that and put all the stuff on it and did all that you're supposed to do. And it just grew and grew and flourished. It was still in this pot. And he put it in a bigger pot. And he said, here, John, now I think it's ready for you. And what he meant was, I think I've salvaged it. It's hardy enough that even you can't kill it. Wrong again. We put it in the front of our house, and it wasn't very long. My father-in-law came by and said, John, what have you done? Well, this person was growing all these plants and things. They said, you can't love plants and flowers without hating weeds, because those weeds are taking the nutrients that my plants need. And I thought about that same thing, that you can't love a healthy, vibrant life, if you're a doctor, without hating that cancer that invades that healthy life and steals and robs from that person. You can't love that one without hating that other. The Bible says we're supposed to fight the good fight. You can't love that lawn of yours, that yard that's so nicely manicured. You say, you're not talking about mine. I know, but I'm all of us need help in that. You can't love that well-manicured lawn without hating some of the things that cause distress to it. Jared and I, we were in this antique store a long time ago. They were walking through that. I did take a little issue with some of these antique stores, because Amy and I stopped at one on our way over to the couples retreat, and I almost went up to the counter and I tell that lady that was working, I said, these are not antiques. These are toys I had when I was a kid. What is the big idea? How could that be? Little Hot Wheels, I had that one. We were at one time, told Amy, I said, well, I had that one and that one and that one. So I hope that doesn't mean what I think it means. But Jared and I were at this antique store, and we saw this thing, it was a metal contraption, and this metal contraption had a spring-loaded element to it that you pulled up like this, and when it got all the way to the top, it had a little latch that went down, and it held it there. But then this element that pulled up, it not only had that spring-loaded flat part, but it had these bunch of spikes, just a bunch of them right down. It wasn't that large, but these bunch of spikes sharp at the bottom, like a bunch of nails weren't, but nails welded to the bottom of this spring-loaded platform that was elevated and then held up there by a spring. I thought, my goodness, that seemed like some kind of torture device. It isn't even allowed anymore. And I don't remember if I looked at my phone or if I asked the person working the counter or what it was, but somehow I found out it was a trap. It was a death trap for moles. And so you put it in these moles. You know, our yard used to be these little burrows all the way through our yard. These moles just dig, and just make a mess of that. And so this mole trap was supposed to be pulled up, spring-loaded. It had a latch there, and somehow it had a part that triggered the latch. And it, aren't you glad you weren't a mole? Yeah, me too. And so I don't think that's very humane. I think they got some now sonic-based, you know, you just the sounds drive them away. So that's fine. But I thought about that. If you love your yard, you somehow want to get those rodents out of there because you don't want to be having a party out there in the yard and somebody falls in that little burrow that this mole made. Well, I thought about our Christian life. We're supposed to be living this vibrant Christian life. My wife is supposed to see a husband who loves the Lord and then loves his family. And my neighbors are supposed to see somebody who knows Jesus Christ. And my people that I'm acquainted with, they're supposed to see somebody who handles life in a different way. They're supposed to see a real live Christian when they see me. If I want to have that fervent, vibrant Christian life, then I should hate the sin that robs from that vibrant Christian life. And so the scripture says that I'm supposed to fight the good fight of faith. So first of all, you do need to fight. But secondly, let me give you this second part. And that is you need to be sure it's the right fight. Because the scripture says that not only I'm supposed to fight, but I'm supposed to fight the good fight. Not the bad one. The Bible says in the book of Jude, that one little one chapter book, that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. But I know people, and I've met several of them, that they're not contending for the faith. They're just contentious. They're just mean and ugly about everything. Now, let me take a little poll. How many of you really, really love to spend mega amounts of time with somebody who's mean, ugly, grumbling, and contentious? All right. It's completely universal. Nobody wants to. So don't be that person. He says, not quite that simple. We can fight the good fight without being that contentious somebody. Let me give you a couple points underneath this about fighting this good fight. Number one, it's a fight of faith. Because the Bible says so. It's fight the good fight of faith. Be sure that you are fighting the right thing. Be sure that you are fighting the fight of faith. Sometimes we stand for something so strong, but then we look at that and we realize that the position that I was standing for wasn't important at all. And all I was doing was giving my energy for something that didn't matter for heaven's sake, and maybe not even for this earth's sake either. But you're supposed to be fighting the good fight of faith. People build their great businesses oftentimes, and sometimes they will do it to the detriment of their health, and they'll rob themselves of their health and their well-being, and they realize at the end of that they made a bad trade. That business is good, but not if it steals from you the health that God has given you. Somebody put it like this. If you're climbing the ladder of success, make sure that the ladder is leaned against the right building. Because sometimes when we get what we want, we don't want what we got. Make sure that you're wanting to go there before you start climbing. And you are supposed to be fighting the good fight of faith. But not only that, the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. But then look on in the verse. You also are called upon to lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on. That phrase means deliberately seek it. Look for it. Live in the things that are eternal. Timothy was already saved, so it wasn't saying, Timothy, I hope you can hold on and find eternal life and grab onto it so that you'll be able to get to heaven. Timothy was already saved. So we understand it's not that, but we're told to deliberately seek the things that matter or are connected with eternal life. Is what I'm doing making a difference for eternity? Live in the things that matter forever. Sometimes people will say this, I'm going to give that the 100 years test. The first time I heard that, I said, what in the world is that? And their test was, will what we're laboring about matter in 100 years? That's pretty good. Well, the scripture just gives a little twist on that. Give it the eternity test. Is it going to matter in eternity? And now many of the things we do won't matter much in eternity, but we should be finding ourselves on regular basis doing the things that do matter for eternity. That yard that I was talking about, whether you have moles or don't have moles in your yard, that probably won't matter much, but you can spend our time doing that. That's all right. But we certainly should be doing a lot of stuff that has a connection to forever. Lay hold on that eternal life. And so in your life, if you are fighting the good fight of faith, not only make sure that's that fight of faith, but make sure that you lay hold on eternal life. Let me tell you the convicting thought that I heard some time ago. I'm going to rehearse it to you now. The question was asked, if the Lord answered all my prayers last week, every single one you prayed, big, little, if the Lord answered every one of my prayers last week, would there be more people in heaven? Or would I just be more comfortable? Wow. I told that person, stop meddling. I don't want to talk to you anymore. But if every prayer that you prayed last week, God answered with a yes. Sometimes the answer is no, not, but if it got answered yes, would more people be in heaven? Or would John, Amy, Jared, Maddie, Allie, Carson just be more comfortable? That gets me. Because I'm supposed to be laying hold on eternal life. And many of the conversations that we're having, they have nothing to do with heaven. Many of the activities that we're engaged in have nothing to do with eternity. Lay hold on eternal life. And then third, underneath that second point, is this. Remember our calling. Because look on in verse number 12. Fight, yes. Fight the faith. Fight for the faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Scripture says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember that the Lord has a purpose, a calling for every one of us. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, you've got a call, but God's got a purpose and a calling for all of us. We're supposed to be engaged in different aspects of this life, and none of us are just out there floating with no purpose whatsoever. God's got a purpose, a reason, a path for every single one of us. Remember our calling. First of all, I said you do need to fight. You need to realize there's some things in this life worth fighting for. But be sure it's the right fight. And then we see in verse number 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, but it just gives some connection there to verse number 14. And that's where I draw my last point from. And that's this, keep clean for the fight. That thou keep this commandment. Keep these orders that I've given. Without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do need to fight. Make sure it's the right fight, but then keep clean for the fight. As far as our Christian living, that substance that they put on some of those devices so they don't want people to stick or don't want things to stick to it, Teflon, so it just hits it and comes off. And the Christian living that we do, we ought to be those Teflon people that nothing wrong sticks to us. Sometimes it feels like you're going through this world. I don't know if you ever had this happen, but used to be with your tennis shoes. You'd be walking through the fields, grew up in the country, and you walk through the fields, and your shoes sometimes would be hard. Sometimes they're hard plastic or hard fake leather or whatever. But then your tennis shoe strings oftentimes would not be that. And so I'd walk through, and a bunch of little cockleburrs, little burry things would stick to your shoe strings because they got attached to that, but they wouldn't attach to the hard surface of your shoes. Sometimes we're going through this life and I feel like the negative and the wrong is attaching to us. We ought to be like that Teflon or those shoes that were hard enough that those little cockleburrs didn't stick to us. And the scripture says that we're supposed to keep clean for the fight. Keep this commandment. As you do that, do it without spot. Don't don't have it. The Bible talks about being without spot, without wrinkle. Amy put all that stuff in my suitcase and a suit to wear one of the services. We got a bunch of shirts and all that. I'm sure that they're without spot because they were all clean, but I doubt by the time we drive or fly all the way to where we're going to fly, I doubt that'll be without wrinkle. Probably be plenty of wrinkles. I'll be trying to get them out. But the scripture says that we're supposed to be without that spot. I remember that I used to have our different friends in high school would wrestle. And whenever a meet was coming up, match they were coming up, they would make sure that their eating lined up with what they want their weight to be. Because if you're right there at that level, you don't want to pop over to the next one. You want to make sure you meet the requirements there. And so they would watch what they ate and make sure they didn't overeat here and do this so they could get in the right class. I think about us, that we're in this battle, the Bible says. In the world, you shall have tribulation. The Bible talks about the battlefield that we go on. Paul used the analogy of boxing. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. And we're in this battle. And sometimes we act like we don't have to keep our weight at a certain level, or we don't have to keep trim. We don't have to keep ourselves ready. We don't have to keep ourselves on guard. Somebody doesn't go into a boxing match or a wrestling match and just say, oh, I'm just not looking around. No. They're looking at their opponent. They're ready for them. And scripture says that we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. As we fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says we ought to make sure that we're fighting the right faith. Do you know that sometimes we're putting out energy when the fight that we're having matters not? Don't you sometimes champion a cause and then you later realize that wasn't a cause I should have even worried about? Sometimes family feuds will get going on and people will stand up and they'll be real brash and bold and they'll say some things. Then later they wish they hadn't. They got into a fight they shouldn't have been in. But there's a fight. If God's given you a family, you're supposed to fight for that family. God's given you your reputation. You're supposed to fight for that by living good and being on guard and being watchful. The Bible tells us to walk circumspectly, live in such a way that you're paying attention to what you're doing. That's what you're doing, is fighting for that. Young people, as they go to school and they've got a chance to have a stellar reputation and one that people think that they love Jesus, and you ought to fight for that and fight the devil, because the devil's going to try to steal and ruin it from you. And so I'm saying this morning that we're supposed to fight. Yes, we are. Fight for those things in a right and righteous and godly way. But just make sure that we're fighting right. Fight the good fight of faith. But then keep ourselves clean for that fight that God has put us in. If you're sitting there with your spouse, we had the marriage retreat, and we were challenged to realize that that person is the will of God. That's your spouse. And I'm challenging you this morning that you should fight for them. I don't think it'll come to blows where you got to fight somebody, but I'm talking about fight the wicked one. The Bible talks about the fiery darts of the devil. You think that your life isn't going to be attacked this week? You think that Satan's not going to be trying to send different things into your life to try to get you, pull you away from where God wants you to be? You already experienced it. Many of you experienced it this morning. You felt the devil's tactics to try to get you to go do something else or not come here. And maybe there's something else. There's several of you. You're sitting here in pain this morning. And the devil will say, you don't feel like going. And you still stood up and went and fought. Listen, my friend, there's a fight to be fought. That fight of faith. Live it for the Lord. And the Bible says, lay hold on eternal life. But while you're doing all of that, keep clean for the fight. Don't get down in the muck and mire that somebody else might do. Because the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He's looking, trying to fight us. Let's fight for the Lord and see what God would do. Would you bow your heads together as our ladies come to play? And as they come, I hope that everybody enlists for the fight today. Maybe I'm the only pastor that's ever told you, we're going to go out here and fight. But we are. We're going to go out these doors, and I want you to fight the good fight of faith. grab your spouse and say, I'm fighting for him, I'm fighting for her. You have your family, we're fighting for them. We need a bunch of dads that would fight and fight the devil and fight on their knees to say, Lord, bless this family of mine. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep clean for the fight. And I hope there's a bunch of people, all of us actually, that go out these doors making that commitment to the Lord. There's one other thing. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. My friend, you are in the best place I think that you could be in the world. Although I didn't preach about your specific need, there is a battle going on for you. Jesus Christ wants you to be saved and put your faith in Him. And Satan is doing all that he can to keep you from ever getting to that place where you acknowledge Christ for who He is and you accept Him as your personal Savior for forgiveness of sins. There's a battle going on. And my friend, if you're not saved this morning, I beg you, please, receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Put your faith in Him. This church, nor anybody in it, can save you. But Jesus can and will and wants to save anybody. If you're here and you're not saved, I challenge you to come. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you need to be baptized. You say, Pastor, I am saved, but I need to be baptized. We'll do that real soon. You want to follow Christ in that? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd love to come present yourself for membership. Then we challenge you to do that as well. If you're able to, would you stand together with me? As we're all standing together, if you're able, and if not, then please stay seated. But I'd just like to invite anybody who likes to come. Say, Pastor, I want to get in the fight. I want to fight for right. I want to live for Christ. I want to endure hardness as a good soldier. My friend, please follow the Lord in that. Maybe you're here today, you're not sure that you're saved. If that's you, I'd like for you to step out and come. Let me or somebody take a Bible. We've got one of our deacons down at the front would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you need to join. Maybe you need to be baptized. You have some other spiritual need in your life you'd like to get met and you'd like somebody to pray with you, then my friend, the altar is open for you. Would you come? As they play one more verse, if God's dealing with your heart, step out and come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a real joy to be in church for me, and I ask each of you to please pray for us as we go on this trip that the Lord would bless in a very special way. We don't know all that we'll be called upon to do, but we're here, we'll be there to be a blessing in any way we can. Just a couple things as you go. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. Maybe it's first time or first time in a long time. There's a connect card right in front of you in the pew back. If you didn't care, just take a moment before you leave to fill that out and drop it by guest services. It's the counter out in the lobby, and they'll have a gift for you just for being our guest. We'll get a letter out to you this week, but if you have something that you'd like to connect with us, whether you're a member or guest, either one, then you want to use that as that, then you can drop it by guest services as well, and we'll certainly be glad to maybe have a prayer request you'd like for us to get to the staff, and we'll certainly take care of that. And then my wife will be out in the back selling these people a prayer journal. And if you're able to get one of those, I'd certainly advise and recommend that. But those are the things we'd like to do. I'm going to ask Brother Marty. He's our chairman of deacons. He's going to come and pray for us. And we'd have said about where we're going. We're broadcasting live and all that, and we want to be careful about that. But I'm going to ask him also to pray for me and the others are going, and then pray to dismiss us. I'll be in the lobby. If I can do anything for you, please stop by and see me. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Lord, now we especially pray for Pastor and these men that are traveling. Lord, we ask you to bless them, pray that you give them traveling mercy, that you watch over them, that you make the trip easy, make it easy to get there and to have no trouble getting there. Lord, we ask you to put a hedge of protection about them. Pray that you bless their families as their way, that you encourage them. I pray, Lord, that you'll use them while they're there, that you'll be a blessing. Pray, Lord, that you'll just guide and direct them. Pray that you'll bring them back to us safe. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us, bring us back to our appointed time, blessing services tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.